Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo. Cambridge 105
Radio. Anna Smith has officially taken over as the leader of Cambridge City Council. She was elected to replace Lewis Herbert, who is stepping down from the role after 7.5 years. And yesterday afternoon, I sat down with Anna.
So I think my political journey really started when I was quite young. When I was still at primary school, my dad got ME. Everything really changed for us as a family as a result of that, because he had to give up work. Mum had to give up her work as a secondary school teacher because he needed her around a lot more. Obviously, we were being supported through incapacity benefits. Money was tight, but they were amazing. And they always prioritised what we needed as a family to thrive. They were just brilliant. But what really struck me was, you know, my dad really, really wanted to work. And he would have given anything to have been able to go back to work. He was an electrician, so quite a manual job, and absolutely not something you could do if you were ill. He would have loved to have gone back.
Would you say you were a Labour supporting family?
No.
You know, even if it's just putting a cross in the box on voting day.
No. I mean, we weren't really a highly political family. I mean, my mum's dad was Labour through and through, absolutely, and my dad was a member of a trade union, but we weren't a politically active family at all. But it was just that realisation, I think, because I remember seeing how hard he struggled and seeing what an amazing guy he was. And then hearing him being called a malingerer, a scrounger, kind of being told almost that nothing he was doing was of value because he was this person on benefits now. And the thing that particularly struck me, and I think a lot of people around about my age say this, is I was watching TV in that Tory party conference, I think it was 1992, with Peter Lilly doing his little list speech.
Oh, I remember that. Oh, my goodness, that takes me back.
Yeah, and I remember watching that. And he's, because doing that list all about, these are the people that we've got on the list because they're scroungers or they're kind of malingerers or whatever it is. And I thought, they're talking about my dad. You know, these privileged people who are in a position of authority, they're talking about my dad, and he's not that person at all. And it just, that was probably the biggest driving force for me, that and kind of as a historian, getting to know more about the Burston Rebellion and the power of kind of grassroots political activism in challenging poverty. I think those two things just really got me thinking, but I was never politically active at university. Quite frankly, at that time, pretty much everybody.
So at what point, then, did you get a tap on the shoulder and somebody said to you, Anna, really should stand, be a councillor in Cambridge?
Really, as I became an adult, I was really clear that Labour was the party that I wanted to be part of from quite an early age. But I was a teacher. That was absolutely a full-time thing to be doing, very, very full-on. And my service to the community was really coming through that. But I think it was probably after the 2010 elections, and I just thought, I've got to do something here. I've got to be part of it. I can't sit back and watch the Tories in control again doing to the country what they did to my dad way back when. So I kind of got a little bit more involved, and then it was still a few years later, and I went along to a curry night that Coleridge Ward, which is the ward I live in, was organising. And chatting to people, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll just deliver some leaflets, you know, kind of maybe do a bit of door knocking, that'll be fun. And by the end of the evening, I'd been approached because there was an all-women shortlist in Rumsey, and they were looking to build up a bank of candidates for that. Would I be interested in standing? And a couple of weeks later, I was in front of the panel, selection panel, and a couple of weeks after that, I was in front of the Rumsey selection meeting. So it was all quite quick. From just turning up and thinking, well, I kind of maybe deliver a few leaflets, to suddenly finding myself as a council candidate.
You mentioned an all-women shortlist there, and that's interesting because I saw a stat the other day that said that only a third of councillors in Cambridgeshire are women. And then I opened up the local Labour Party leaflet that had come through my door at the weekend, and there they were, four white people in their 50s, and above the caption, "The future of Cambridge." And I kind of figure there's a few underrepresented groups on the council. Women, clearly one of them, ethnic minorities, another. And I'm wondering what puts them off.
So it's something we're really working hard on as a local Labour Party, and we do designate some winnable seats as a woman, because I can't talk for everyone. I know that as a woman myself, I think society, even for someone that's quite feisty like me, I think society kind of encourages you not to be arrogant, to not put yourself forward. I think I certainly was very much thinking about, well, I'm just not good enough. I'm just not ready. You know, who would want me? I'm not from that kind of background. I haven't got those skills. Now, I think we've got to do a lot more. And I think we've particularly got to do a lot more as a whole council to attract people who are not white. And I think that's also really important. We don't have enough young people either. I mean, in becoming a council leader, and we've had a few female council leaders recently in the area.
Surrounded by them, which in theory can only be a good thing.
Well, I don't know if we've slightly tipped the figure over 20% nationally now, but we're looking at under 20% of council leaders in the country are women, for example. Some ridiculously low figure of percentage of councillors who are under 30. I can't remember, but it's very, very low. Very low figures for councillors who are not white. It's really exciting that we've got in Councillor Boulat, who is one of our county councillors, we have, I think she's the first elected Romanian-born councillor in the country. This should become the norm, because really we need to be a council that represents the city that we serve. We need to look and sound and have the experiences like the city that we serve.
Well, when's your first council meeting officially, the full one as leader?
So we had a full council last night where we had the kind of election. My first full council meeting in terms of something that is not that will be the budget meeting in February.
Do you get to do a cabinet reshuffle like Keir Starmer did?
No.
And then another one 6 months later?
No, we're very democratic in Labour groups, so our choices of exec councillors are democratically voted on. So even though the council constitution allows for the leader to choose their exec councillors, that's not how we do it. We want to ensure that everyone has the full support of Labour Group.
Okay. So I would assume no changes in policy, but I'm figuring that a new person at the top must mean some difference, if only that's in emphasis as the things that you put forward. What will we see?
Well, I mean, I was the person that led on putting together our manifesto. So you're right to say that in terms of the big things, there won't be a lot of difference. Tackling the climate and biodiversity emergencies, tackling poverty and inequality, building a new generation of council houses, those are the things that we all wanted in our manifesto, myself included. I think things are changing. Things have changed even since May. I think it's increasingly clear that we've got a very, very tough few years ahead, and that working together as a whole city is going to be really important in that. And I am very, very keen on cooperative working. And one of those experiences, one of the things that my experience with my dad left me with, is that really strong sense that we want to hear and listen to all voices and work with everyone. Because then there's a danger that we only work with the people who are kind of shouting the loudest. So I'm very keen on looking at how, as a council, we can really make sure we're hearing all the voices in our city as clearly as we can.
Political heroes, I guess that's an obvious question to ask, really, for somebody who's just been elected to the highest post on Cambridge City Council. When you, you know, look back, you mentioned Burston earlier on, in South Norfolk. Are there sort of people from there who you would say, oh, these are the people I aspire to emulate?
Well, certainly the Higdons. I mean, Kitty Higdon was a teacher. She was a socialist. She was involved in the early trade union movement. But I think I would probably have to look a little bit closer to home at some of the amazing women that preceded us in Cambridge in the early 20th century. So people like Clara Rackham, people like Leah Manning, who, wow, I mean, what amazing lives they had. And they did so much for the city and beyond. I mean, Clara Rackham wasn't just important in our city. She was important in saving hundreds of children, for Basque children, child refugees in the Spanish Civil War. So, you know, well, what if they're great to emulate. And I've somebody I've never met, and I wish I had, but I have heard an awful lot about, is Ruth Bagnall, who was leader on the City Council way before me, before she died, sadly. That was when Lewis became leader of Labour Group. And I've heard so much about the way that she led and the vision that she had. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I hope I can do justice to Ruth's memory too.
Anna Smith, thanks very much. Anna Smith, our newly elected leader of Cambridge City Council. If you want to hear more from Anna, there's a longer chat with Linda Ness and Susie Thorpe on this Sunday's Women Making Waves. She'll be telling them about her work, her politics, and how she likes to relax. So Women Making Waves, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on Cambridge 105 Radio.